We'll read from the Bible today on the passages that will be preached by Brother David. It's open to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. Chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. I will read like this. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chain and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers with me of grace, for God is my witness. How greatly I long for you, all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Thank you, Bain. It was a great privilege and joy to preach. Thank you, Pastor Eric, for the opportunity and privilege to preach. This is a marvelous passage that we want to look at today. We're going to focus on the prayer of Paul in verses 9 through 11. Appreciate Ping reading to give us some context concerning the church at Philippi. This was a church that Paul dearly loved. It's easy to tell the love he has for this Philippian church in just these few verses that we read to give some context. The Church of Philippi was founded in Paul's second missionary journey, and it's really, at the time of this letter, it was a younger church than we are here today. It was a church that was only 11 years old at the time of this letter. So this was a church that Paul dearly loved, and what he wrote in this prayer is applicable to us today, because it's really a prayer of sanctification, a prayer for Christ's likeness. It's a prayer of maturity in Christ, that we would be disciples of Christ. And so the prayer that we're going to look at today is really a prayer for the people in a positive sense to grow in Christ. So this was Paul's desire for them, as well as for us today. It was Paul's personal desire in his life, as we will see. But if you look at verse 9, it begins after that he mentions that this is a prayer, that he prays that their love may abound. We want to stop right there, because with the idea in this passage, you would think that he's just praying that their love would grow and grow and grow. But the purpose for their love to abound really is going to be seen in the other verses, because we are to grow in our love for Christ. We're to grow in our love for each other. But I want to say the Beatles were wrong. I know this is out of left field, but the Beatles were wrong. 51 years ago, they were invited to participate in a two-hour show that was broadcast to over a billion people in 24 countries. And because of this invitation that they had received, they wrote a song for the occasion. And the song that they wrote was "All You Need Is Love." That was a popular song then. It's a popular theme today in our world. All we need is love. Well, by the authority of the Word of God, what we read here, that we need more than just love. Love is necessary, but what we need is more than love. As we look at the rest of this verse here, he goes on to say that your love may, that you may abound in love, or that your love may abound still more and more in what? Still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. This is not a new concept, the idea of knowledge and all discernment. We could look, and we will look today in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. We will read the words knowledge and discernment there in verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 8. So Paul knew the Scriptures, and he knew the importance that love must be shepherded. Love must be directed. It must be directed by knowledge, knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowledge of God's Word, and also by discernment. Discernment is a word which means to perceive or recognize or distinguish, to separate apart is what discernment means, to perceive, recognize, distinguish, to separate apart. How many of you have been looking for something, whether it was a road to turn on or a sign or something in a paper or magazine or even in your house, and you can't find it? You're looking, you're seeing, but you're not perceiving. And so discernment is the idea of perception, that not only do you see it, but you perceive and can distinguish that which is necessary. Because, again, the whole purpose here is that their love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And you look there at verse 10, it gives really the reason that you may approve the things that are excellent. Paul's prayer is that they would approve the things that are excellent. When we think of what things that he's speaking of that are excellent, the rest of the letter really talks about that. The idea here that we're to approve the things that are excellent in our life. Not the things that are mediocre, not the things that are passable, but God wants excellence from us, and He wants excellence for us, so that we would approve the things that are excellent, when we're confronted with choices in our life. Because this is what we have to understand, that the love must be bridled by knowledge, and must be bridled by discernment. Scripture teaches us in several places. For example, 1 John chapter 2, what does it say? It says in verse 15, love not the world. So love is got to be guided by knowledge. It's got to be guided by discernment. We're not to love the world, neither the things in the world. If we look at James chapter 4, we don't want to turn there, but just keep in mind that James says that friendship with the world, not love, but friendship with the world, is hostility toward God. Hostility toward God, to just be friends with the world. And the one that seeks to be a friend with the world makes themselves an enemy of God. So this whole idea that love is all we need is not biblical. We need love that is grounded in, that is bridled and directed by knowledge. And it is also discernment is used in the application of Christian love. Christian love is to help us, guide us, direct us to approve the things that are excellent. That's what God wants for us, to make choices in our life. When we're confronted with issues, do we approve the things that are excellent concerning our time? When you think of the day that you live in, the environment, the situations that you're confronted with on a regular basis, are you approving the things that are excellent concerning your time? Are you approving the things that are excellent concerning your money? Are you approving the things that are excellent concerning your relationships, concerning your prayer time, concerning entertainment, concerning study of the Bible? Now, I know that it seems I've gone from preaching to meddling, but this is what Paul's prayer is for us, to understand and recognize that his prayer for the Philippians, just as it is for us today, is that we would approve the things that are excellent, not settle for passable or mediocre, but things that are excellent. And we want to recognize and understand this is really in English one sentence, this prayer, and every part of this prayer really can be understood in light of the beginning and the end. It says, "And this I pray," and then you can look at the rest of that prayer request as a parenthesis, and then look at the very last seven words of the prayer, to the glory and praise of God. So when we are confronted with this, that our love may abound, it's to abound to the glory and praise of God. When the prayer is that we approve the things that are excellent, is to the glory and praise of God. As we go on and look in verse 10 here, we see that we would be what? What does it say? We would be what? Pure and blameless. The word there in the original language is without wax. That's what the word means there. That's right. Sincere is a Latin derivative that means without wax. The definition there is without or free of falsehood, free of deceit, sincere. But the word itself, the Latin word, means without wax. The idea there was, in the Middle Ages, sellers of dishware would use wax to cover the blemishes or cracks in their pot, not in their pots, but in their dishes. And honest vendors would put signs up that they would say sincere, without wax. The dishes that they were selling were not using wax to cover up any blemishes in them. And in the same way, our lives, Paul's prayer is, should be sincere, that we should be without wax, that we should be free of any falsehood, free of any deception or deceit, that we would be honest and trustworthy, that we would be sincere in our lives. You know, we live our lives before the presence of God, don't we? We're to recognize and understand that we can seek to hide things, but God sees everything. And we're to live our lives in a sense that we're not seeking to be deceptive. We're seeking to be honest in every aspect. And that was Paul's prayer for us, that we would be sincere. We want to recognize and understand that, and the idea there is that we're to also to be what else after that besides sincere? Without offense. Till the day of Christ. And this is an important part of what we want to look at today. Till the day of Christ. Paul's prayer recognizes, as he does in all of this book of Philippians, The idea that Christ is returning, Christ is coming. If you look back at verse 6, he writes this verse with confidence, being confident of this very thing that we're speaking of here. That the Christian life is not a life of maintenance, it's a life to be a life of growth. We're to grow as Christians. We're not to be set and never advance in our Christian life. Again, this is a prayer of Paul for advancement, for growth, for Christian maturity, for sanctification, for Christ-likeness in our lives. This very short, compact prayer of Paul is packed with so much truth and richness for us. And we do take great satisfaction, great joy, and as the word is, confidence in verse 6, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing to recognize and understand that Christ, who began a good work in us, will complete it? If you're a Christian today, God is at work in you in your life. But the joy that we recognize in this prayer is Paul recognized till the day of Christ, one day we're going to be glorified, aren't we? When Christ returns, the culmination of our sanctification will occur. We will be glorified. We will be perfected in Christ. What Paul's prayer is for them and for us is that he wanted what they will have one day. He wanted that for the Philippians now. He wanted them to experience that now. He wanted them to grow in maturity, just as he desired this in his own life. If you look over at chapter 3, verse 14, this whole passage there is Paul talking about his desire to grow and mature in Christ. This is the apostle, and yet he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He pressed. He was pushing for it. He was straining toward it. In the same way, we're to be straining and pressing toward the same goal of Christ's likeness. Isn't this marvelous? In this short, very simple prayer of Paul, we see here in chapter 1, his desire for the Philippians was Christ's likeness, to grow and mature in Christ, to become like him in every way, to mature in individually and corporately as Christians, to grow and mature in Christ. And verse 11 is wonderful verse saying that being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus. Now, that's a marvelous statement we're to recognize and understand that as we grow, as we abound in love with knowledge and discernment, as we approve the things that are excellent, as we are sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, Christ is working in us these fruits of righteousness, which we are being filled with, are by Jesus Christ. That is a marvelous statement. He not only makes the offer, he makes it possible for us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. If you would turn over to John chapter 15, this really echoes exactly what Jesus himself said in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. If someone would read these two verses for us, please. John 15, verses 4 and 5. Amen. Thank you. So again, the whole idea there is this is by Jesus Christ. And the fact that we are being filled with the fruits of righteousness is by Jesus Christ. And I hope you notice the many statements, many mentions of Jesus Christ here in this chapter. It's been said, and rightly so, that the theme of Philippians is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, or Christ are mentioned 40 times in these four chapters. 40 times Paul makes the emphasis concerning our Lord to the Philippians and to us about Jesus Christ. And here we see in verse 11 that the fruits of righteousness are by Jesus Christ. What a blessing for us to comprehend and recognize that as we are to strive, we are to recognize that the work that is being done is by God. We are to do all we can. We are to strive to obey Him, to grow in sanctification, in knowledge, in obedience, in discernment. And yet, it is by Jesus Christ these come. Now, the danger in all this, in this short prayer, is that we can become idolatrous. We can seek to magnify ourselves in trying to become Christ-like. That's what the very last phrase of this wonderful prayer really stops us from doing, because it is all to the glory and praise of God. Every aspect of the Christian life is to the glory and praise of God. All that God does for us and through us, for the world, for each other, is to the glory and praise of God. It is in doing this, God is glorified and we are blessed. You know, the life that we're prayed for in this short prayer of Paul's is a life of joy. It's a life of peace. It's a life of blessing. We read about blessing and blessing and blessing in this wonderful prayer of Paul for us today to recognize. Yet it's all to the glory and praise of God. We are to recognize and understand that as we do these things, we are to pray. We are to pray and come to Him humbly, understanding that what Paul is praying for the Philippians and for us are things that we cannot do. We cannot manufacture love that would abound. We cannot do that. We can study, but can we discern? Can we perceive apart from the work of God in our life? You know, so the prayer that we see here is really a prayer because Paul recognizes God must do the work and God must receive the glory. If you don't know Christ today, then these promises, this offer, this gracious prayer, you're not participating in what God's Word is offering today to us as Christians. And I plead with you today to come to Christ. There's a wonderful passage here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. If you would turn to that, because we want to close with this wonderful passage about really magnifying our Savior, recognizing and understanding what Christ has done for us, that He has been trustworthy, that He will continue what He has begun till the day of Christ, when Christ returns and a culmination of our sanctification occurs. But till that time, we are to press toward the mark. So let's read those verses. Ping, if you would, please, sir.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 13. The Bible makes like this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Thank you, brother. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful prayer from the Apostle Paul for us today to live by. That needs to be our prayer. We need to make it our prayer for ourselves and for others. And I pray that you'll do that today for the glory of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we rejoice at your presence today in our lives. Father, we praise you, God, for your goodness toward us in giving us your word. We praise you, Lord, for this prayer of Paul that is in this book, that is a blessing to us that we can take and pray for ourselves and for others. I pray today, God, that you would continue to be merciful toward us. Forgive us of our sins where we have failed you and others. And Father, we rejoice. We praise you, God. We rejoice in your goodness toward us in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will save to the uttermost. I pray today, Lord, for those among us that may not know Christ, that they would come to Christ today. Father, we rejoice and praise you for your promises to us that you are faithful. You remain faithful. We thank you again for your word in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen.